Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, here to welcome you to our weekly teaching edition as we study through the pages of the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. After a brief review, we'll pick up on page 77 with the truth about grace. And as we get underway, a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today so that everyone can listen and benefit from the study. And now, here's Bob Christopher. Bob, I think possibly we'll finish the chapter today. What do you think?
Well, that's our plan. That's our goal, but sometimes plans don't work out as we set forth. But we'll see. I think we'll get through this chapter. We're going to talk about the truth about grace. Last week, we talked about Jesus and the law, the fact that he fulfilled the law through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
And what that means is he brought it to its completion.
Uh-huh.
So everything that the law required has been fully accomplished in Christ. And he did that because we couldn't.
Yes.
And he paid the penalty that we justly deserved so that we could be set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. So now through faith in Jesus Christ, the law has fulfilled its purpose in our lives. It has stepped back and given way to Jesus. So now as believers, we're to be led by the Spirit of God. That's that new way of life that we've been raised to walk in. And we talked about that last week and the fact that we are to live by the Spirit and that this grace of God teaches us to say no to unrighteousness and to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that's what this new life is. Looks like it's a life led by the Spirit, and one of the byproducts is that we start saying no to the things of this world. So this week, we really want to focus on the grace of God, just exactly what the grace of God is. Now, most of us have grown up with various definitions. We've had acrostics, God's riches at Christ's expense. We know grace is God's unmerited favor toward us, and certainly those are true.
Yes.
But I think they just give the tip of the iceberg. Grace is so much bigger than those definitions can provide. In the Complete Word Study Dictionary, I find this definition of the word grace, which is the Greek word charis. Many of you grew up knowing the word Eucharist. Well,
yes.
Charis is right in the center of that. It's a response to the grace of God. So charis is that word grace. And it means this, the absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver. So God chooses to act toward us in kindness.
Yes.
And that has absolutely nothing to do with us. We can't merit that action.
Mm-hmm.
We can't deserve that action. God just freely gives it to us. And all we can do is receive it. So what is God's grace? It is God's favor directed toward us through Christ Jesus. So how does he direct his favor toward us? In Christ. So that brings us to the real definition of grace. Grace is the person and work of Jesus Christ. You can't separate grace from Jesus.
No.
He is the one who is full of grace and truth, as the Apostle John wrote in his gospel letter.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ is grace. So grace is God's work in Jesus Christ to make us spiritually alive and to empower us to live in this world as his children. So when we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, what that looks like is a life of faith in Christ, who made us alive together with him and who lives his life through us as we walk by faith.
Yes.
That's grace. And that is the most marvelous way to live. And I think that's where so many of us get mixed up as far as how the Christian life is supposed to work. We think we're saved by grace, and then we sustain this Christian life through human effort. Well, that's a mixed message,
yes.
And that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for failure. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We live today by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, we're going to bear this out in the Word of God. And in Philippians 1:6, we see a powerful statement by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So what does that teach us about the grace of God?
That it is all of his work. He initiates it to us. He brings it to pass within us. We get to cooperate with that by allowing him to do that work, but it's all his, and he's going to guarantee it. If he says he's going to finish it, who am I to say, well, I don't think so? He is going to finish it. It's guaranteed.
Right. And I think this passage in Philippians, it certainly applies to us on an individual basis, but it also is looking at the body of Christ.
Yes.
So there's a work that God is doing within the body, and he's going to bring that to completion. And as you said, it rests on his shoulders, not ours. Mm-hmm. And that's the part we get mixed up. You know, what has God done? And we can recognize that. Now, what's my responsibility?
Yes.
And that's where we get hung up. What's my responsibility? My responsibility is to simply walk by faith, mm-hmm. by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to see another example of this in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. Paul wrote, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose."
Yes.
So this is one of those passages that a lot of people really freak out over. It's like, oh my gosh, we have to work out our salvation.
Yeah.
What if we don't? Can we lose it? And so many people who think we can lose salvation point to Philippians 2:12.
Uh-huh.
But you can't just lift that verse out of that chapter and form a doctrine based on that one verse. It has context.
Yes.
And the context is this, that God is at work in us to will and to act according to his good purpose.
Uh-huh.
So what does it mean to work out our salvation?
It means to discover what's real about what God has already done in us. We're working out what he has already put in. We allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to renew our minds, to overflow his love through us to other people. That's the kind of work we're talking about. It's not a, oh no, I messed up, I'm lost. It's just the privilege of having God himself working through us 24/7.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, God working through us.
Yes.
So, you know, we come into a situation and we all have relationship problems, you know, in any relationship, no matter how good it is,
uh-huh.
you're gonna butt heads at some point. You're going to hurt one another's feelings. You're going to do something to hurt and bring pain into another person's life, or they're going to do that
yes.
to you. So what does God work in us at that particular moment? He works into us this desire for reconciliation, and along with that desire for reconciliation is this intense desire for forgiveness, to either extend forgiveness or to receive. Forgiveness.
Yes.
So God is at work in us to bring those desires to the surface. And our working out is to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us, or to receive forgiveness from those that we have wronged. That's part of working out, and that's part of the will of God that he's doing in and through us. But who's the source of it? Who makes all that happen? God does.
Yes.
As he works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. So think about what this means. That's a little section that we have running throughout this study guide. And in this particular think about what this means section, we write this: grace is not a what, grace is a who. God himself living in you. What a rhyme. Did Dr. Seuss come up with that?
He must have.
Grace is not a what, grace is a who, God himself living in you via the Holy Spirit. So to live by grace is to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So when it says that we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, what exactly is Paul referring to? What does that look like?
We have the Holy Spirit in us, doing the very things that you just described, teaching us how to love each other, teaching us how to forgive each other, teaching us how to accept one another, how to communicate. Every aspect of life is informed by God himself living inside of us.
Yeah, just a powerful, a powerful truth, and even a more powerful reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what grace is, to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what our life is supposed to be. That is the way of grace.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel's weekly teaching edition from our study guide entitled The New Covenant Journey. I'm Bob Davis, here with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, and we thank you for being with us. If you've joined our study in progress and you'd like to start at the beginning, you can do that anytime by visiting the teaching page of our website. Just visit basicgospel.net/teaching. That's our main website, followed by a slash and the word teaching. There you'll find the archive all the way back to session one, and as I said, you can access them anytime. Also from that page, you can order your own copy of the study guide, The New Covenant Journey, along with the free study notes from each session. Again, it's all available at basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder, too, that because this is a teaching edition, the phone lines are not open today. So now back to our study, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on the middle of page 78, question number 3. Why is grace better than law? And we have a series of passages,
yes.
And we're going to see just in many ways why grace is better than law. Several weeks ago, we looked at some of the limitations of the law, the Mosaic covenant. The law could not justify us. The law could not make us right in God's sight. The law could not impart life to us. It's limited. It can diagnose the problem.
Yes.
It can't cure the problem. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need Christ Jesus. And so in these passages, we're going to see that grace does for us what the law could never do for us. So Romans 3, 23, 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the grace of God do for us according to this passage?
It justifies us.
It justifies us. The law could never do that. Mm-hmm. Grace does. Grace justifies us. Romans 5:21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does grace bring to us according to this passage?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Could the law ever impart life to us?
No.
All the law did was brought death. The law condemns. The law was a ministry of death. If we're going to experience life, that's a function of the grace of God.
Yes.
The grace of God makes us alive together with Christ. In Romans 12:6, it says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So what does grace do for us according to this passage?
It equips us. It gifts us to serve one another.
Absolutely. And that's according to the work of God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many gifts. I was in a church many years ago, and we took a spiritual gifts survey, an assessment. And we were supposed to fill out this particular survey, and then you calculated the results. There were numbers, and it would calculate your spiritual gift.
Yes.
Well, we were in a teaching church. Teaching was everywhere. The pastor was a teacher. All the ministers were teachers, and most people went to that church for the teaching.
Yes.
Guess what 90% of the people had who did that survey as far as a spiritual gift? Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's what we all wanted. There are other gifts in other churches that everybody wants, and so you determine that's what your gift is. But we can't pick and choose. This is God's Spirit giving as he sees fit.
Yes.
So grace gifts us to serve the body of Christ in a way that's beneficial to the body of Christ.
At the Spirit's discretion.
Absolutely.
So I don't have one gift for my whole life. It could be multiple gifts at different times, but it's all for service, and it's all by the Spirit.
Absolutely. So God's grace justifies us in contrast to the law that could never justify us. God's grace brings us eternal life in contrast to the law that could never impart life to us. God's grace gifts us to serve. The law never did that. The next thing we're going to find out is that God's grace sustains us. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So what do we find out about the grace of God when times are tough? We find out that it's sufficient.
Yes.
And that it's going to be God's grace that sustains us through those times that are tough for us. Mm-hmm. And that is such a powerful truth. And when we're weak, that's when Christ is strong in and through us. That's when we see the full measure of his grace working in and through us. So that's a powerful truth. The law never did that. In Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So what does the grace of God do for us?
Saves us.
It saves us. The law can't save us.
Nope.
Never could. Doesn't have that power. Only the grace of God can save us. And then in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So what does the grace of God do in this passage?
It overcomes death.
It overcomes death. We were talking about this in a Bible study on Wednesday. There is a lot of knowledge out there in the world today, and it comes in all kinds of flavors. Science is some of the most important knowledge
yes.
that we have within our intellectual cache, so to speak. And that knowledge is ever growing. But as much as it grows and as much as we add to it year after year after year after year, there's one thing that will always remain outside of the knowledge of science. And that's power over death. We will never, ever, ever solve that issue. Science will never solve that issue. Only God has power over death. And he showed that to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he tasted death for us, he conquered sin and death once for all. And he was raised so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life.
Yeah.
That's the power of
that's
grace.
Power.
It really is. Now, we have a tendency as human beings to not be exclusive. You know, we can't just say the grace of God is it. We want to take nuggets from all sorts of things. So, like the book of Colossians, for example, was written to that particular group because they were trying to take little nuggets of truth from all the different philosophies that
yes.
they had known and meld them together into one message. So they were taking things from philosophy. They were taking things from human traditions. They were taking things from rules and regulations and rituals. And then they were taking some from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they put this all together in a big pot, mixed it all up, and out came just a mess.
Yes.
They had no victory. And like, well, we have that tendency.
Uh-huh.
That's a human tendency. We want to take a little bit over here, a little bit over there, and blend it together. Christians have that same tendency. We want to take all the good things out of the law and blend them with all the good things in grace and come up with our own way. Well, you can't do that. You can't mix law and grace. Law had a purpose. That was to show us our need for Christ.
Yes.
Grace has a purpose, and that's to save us and to empower us to live as children of God in this world of darkness. The law can't do that. So we have to recognize those purposes. And once the purpose of the law has been fulfilled in us, we need to set it aside, as the scripture tells us to, and fully embrace the grace of God and recognize that's our way forward. And so we see warnings against
yes.
mixing. Jesus gave this answer to a question. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. That is an interesting metaphor, yes. But it really tells us exactly what we need to know about mixing law and grace. Mm-hmm. What happens? You're going to lose the power of grace. You're going to lose the purpose of the law. Yes. Neither one are going to mean anything to you. So you don't mix those two. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us in Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So we're either saved by grace or we're not.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of people that will talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then they will add to it baptism, water baptism. So how are we saved? By the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and water baptism. Well, if you add water baptism to the mix, you've just made the grace not grace at all. That's
correct.
No longer grace. You're depending on water baptism, not on the work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Once you do that, grace is no longer grace. It's merely a work. So we need to recognize that. We can't mix those two. In Galatians 3:1-3, Paul uses some pretty flavorful, salty language. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So what were the Galatians doing there?
Oh, they were very confused. They were trying to build the law back into their new life. And, of course, they were missing the whole point.
Yeah. And how does law spell itself out? Who's the source of carrying that out?
Oh, I am. I have
Absolute.
To be.
Because, so human effort.
Yes, absolutely.
Human effort. We bring human effort into the mix, and it's no wonder this Christian life doesn't make sense. It's no wonder that we are so confused about how it's supposed to work. But if we will embrace the grace of God for what it is, we will see how it really works in practical everyday life. In Galatians 1:6, he said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. What happens when we try to mix law and grace? Well, when we start relying on human effort, we desert our faith in Jesus.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're losing our salvation. We're just saying, the way of the Christian life is human effort, not by grace through faith in Jesus. That's why we can't mix these two. That's why we go back to our definition. Grace is the empowering presence of God, enabling us to be who God created us to be and to do what God has called us to do. It is Jesus Christ living his life in and through us. So What's the takeaway from all this? Well, die to the law, just
yes.
as Paul said, so that we can live for God. Recognize that when we're under the law, sin is our master. Every time we try to live up to rules and regulations, we empower sin in our lives. We allow sin to take charge, to
yes.
take control. And what the Bible says about that is that is slavery. That's not freedom.
Not at all.
That's bondage. So we need to recognize that only under the grace of God are we free to live the Christian life. And what is that? Paul put it best in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Amen. Great study, guys, and thanks for it. Friends, keep in mind that all information on our study from the New Covenant Journey Study Guide is available from our website at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, thanks for being with us. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel staff, Bob Davis wishing you a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back Monday. Hope you will, too. Bye-bye.